We live in a world that is evil. But we're not evil. Even though we have evil present within us, Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, mostly we're good. But it's only because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us and working us, making us good. But the biggest thing is making Jesus see us as good, whether we are or not. We saw last week that Jesus said we're to never be afraid of anything. But to watch out. That's the biggest warning Jesus ever gave us. Our Savior, the one who came and died for us, told us to watch out. Continuously, every day. Whether we're alone or whether we're in a crowd, to watch out. Show caution. Avoid those things that Jesus has warned us about. So the title today is this thing of cursed. C-U-R-S-E-D. Cursed. It's not a popular subject because nobody ever preaches about it. That's the reason we don't know anything about it. But they know about it in other places. And we need to know about it ourselves, Jesus says. There are some things that God wants for us that are uncomfortable for us. And He knows that. And we pray constantly that we don't have it, but we have it anyhow. And that's part of His plan for each one of us. You know, of course, that Paul struck down on the road blind after he was converted. Never got all his eyesight back. You know that. I have learned that every time we have a confrontation with the powers of heaven, we're left with a scar to remind us of how it went down. Jesus told Peter, you're going to be blind when you're an old man. After Peter had healed so many people and Jesus had healed so many people, Jesus told him, you're going to be a blind man as an old man. Jacob, if you remember in Genesis, when he wrestled with Jesus, the angel from the Lord, he was left with a limp. Jacob limped the rest of his life. So some things that are uncomfortable for us are part of the plan. We just have to deal with them. Paul prayed 3 times that God would give him all his sight back. God never did do it. And He gave him a reason why. He didn't give us very many reasons. Sometimes we have to try to figure out why in the world have I got all this I have to deal with. So we watch out. That's what he said last week. Watch out. Watch out for what? We watch out for other people. That's what we watch out for. Do what? Other people. Other people. God deals with our situation, so we got to watch out for our situation. But He deals with other people in our lives too. Back in 1965, I was a member of the Alabama Air National Guard, stationed at Montgomery there at Danley Field. And any time the jets were flying, the people at the fire department had to stand by, and I was in the fire department. We had to spend a lot of time sitting in fire trucks on the runway, watching out in case there was a problem with one of those jet aircraft. We spent a lot of time sitting in those trucks talking. One of the guys that was in that truck with me on my crew was a Methodist missionary's boy from Central America. He would get in conversations about all the evil stuff that went on in Latin American countries and how real it was. I remember him telling me that witch doctors down south could speak to a rock and it would burn like a chunk of coal. And he said it was real, Joe. It wasn't fake, it wasn't magic, it was real. And that's the kind of things I want to speak to you about today. Because I'm going to tell you something. Our country has been left open. And people who are cursed from all over the world have come in our country. People with a culture of evil. And they're all around us. Most of them won't talk too much about it. But I've had conversations with an awful lot of people about this thing about evil and evil spirits and the demon world and whatever. Because it's a part of our culture too, should be, because it was a part of Jesus' culture. He wanted us to understand about this. I can remember back about 30 years ago, I ran into a Mexican boy, one of the early folks that came over here, that bragged about having a pacto de diablo, a deal with the devil that gave him his strength. I didn't know how to deal with him. I got to asking preachers. Most of them laughed at me. My cousin was buried out at Enon, and I went out there to the funeral, and I met the pastor that was at Enon Church. He had been in Nicaragua for 20 years. And I told him my plight, that I needed some help. He laughed and said, "You can't ask a preacher in the South about anything about demons because most of them don't even believe in them to start with." But he said they won't get 5 minutes in a Latin American country without seeing the evidence of it. And he said it's everywhere. So as part of Jesus' warning, because he said, look out to stay away from temptations from Satan. And that's what that's all about. And I want to try to fill you in this morning in a few minutes to give you an idea of some of the things that are going on so you won't get involved in it. I asked that boy on that fire truck why it seemed like that witchcraft and demonology was so strong in the Latin American countries, but it wasn't in the South in those days. And he said, well, my dad explained to me. Spirits are strong where spirits are worshipped. He said, when good spirits are worshipped in the South, you see God strong, Jesus strong, Holy Spirit strong. And where demon spirits are worshipped in the Latin American countries, the demons are strong. That made sense. That's something we know, should know about as Christians. We were created to do good works, that God might be glorified. Where we are, God is strong. That's the way it should be. But I've said before, I've tried to reiterate it, repeat it every week or so. that we need to understand the evil in our life so we won't be touched by it. There is a way to overcome Satan. It's in 1 John. John says, you that have overcome Satan. So there is a way to do that. And it's simply by saying no. But we're playing a game here that belongs to God. He designed it. We didn't. It's not natural to us. It's God's game. And it's God instilled Jesus in this game. And the Holy Spirit that lives within us in this game. And we got to understand that the rules that we come up with are not always God's rules. And we've got to learn how to play it according to His rules. If you return to Genesis chapter 8, I want to show you something God Himself said. Genesis chapter 8. Now, Genesis chapter 8 is talking about when the ark settled. God had just killed everybody in the world with the flood except for 8 people. And I want to read you what He said after the ark had settled on Mount Ararat. The door had opened. The animals came out. Noah and his 3 sons and their wives came out. And Noah sacrificed clean animals to God. And God said the smell of it was sweet. And look at what He said. In chapter 8 of Genesis, in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in His heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. I'm not going to put a curse on the earth again. What do you mean, put a curse? For the imagination or the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. That's a promise to us. Verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God says, I'll never curse the ground, the earth again. So what did He mean by a curse? That thing that God did, where He killed every living being in the earth except for 8 humans, and who was on the ark, the animals on the ark, was a result of a curse that God put on the earth. And He said, I won't do that again. Satan uses people. And He used the people of the earth to create evil. He saw He had made a mistake and He killed everybody. Said He won't do it again. So evil has come. He said people are evil from their, as a young person. So here we go again. That's the reason evil. People ask the question, why is evil in the world? There it is. Because we're naturally evil. Paul said in the 7th chapter of Romans, I find that when I would do good, there is evil present within me. Even after you're born again, you don't get rid of all the evil that's inside of you. There's some more still in there. And you've got to make a choice whether you're going to do the good or you're going to do the evil. The curse is real. Now hear me. There are people in the South, I know, because I've been here all my life, that try to make it sound real proper by saying cussing. They call cussing cursing. They put the R in there. But there are two different words in the South. There's the curse. This is what God is talking about. And there's what we call cussing. That is the use of profanity. They're two completely different things. But in the process of cussing, you can lay a curse on something. And you need to be aware of it. How to watch? What do we need to do? How do we go about watching? We watch about being careful not to put a curse on somebody or something. Turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. In verse 33. I want to show you another one of God's rules about us. This is part of His plan. Not ours. Part of His. And we need to understand this particular rule that is part of what God, the way God sees things. Chapter 12 of Matthew and verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. How do you know? He's talking about, he's using an analogy here. How do you know what kind of tree it is? Well, if it's got oranges on it, it's orange tree. If it's got pecans on it, it's pecan tree. Can't be anything else. And he's trying to tell us here that a man is known by the fruit that he produces. His words and his actions are his fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers. He's talking to the Pharisees now in the temple. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. There is a fact right there that is created in heaven that is put in our Bible as truth. What we say comes out of our heart. What did he say in verse 33? A good man speaks good stuff and a bad man speaks bad stuff. The originator of that is our heart. It's what we're all about. The Bible uses the term heart as the seat of all our thought. It includes the mind and everything. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So, you judge a person by what he says. Because you know it comes out of the inside. You can tell what's on the inside of it by what's on the outside. Verse 36. Here is another warning. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. When we come before Jesus' throne, after the rapture, he will question us about certain things. We'll never have to stand judgment. That's over for us. But we will be questioned about what we did as we lived a Christian after we were born again. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Well, that's not fair. Fair is not a word God deals with. But I might get mad and lose my cool and say something that I really don't mean. No, God says you do mean it. At that moment, you meant it or you wouldn't have said it. We seek excuses. We're going to have to learn to be careful about what we say. Well, you know, I've always had a bad temper, and occasionally I lose. He says in Proverbs that a man can't control his own spirits like a city without walls. You know what that means? It's vulnerable. Satan can come in anytime he wants to if there's no wall. He can come into your life anytime he wants to if you've got no control over your own spirit. So every idle word that we say, we're going to have to answer for. So don't let your guard down. You can't let your guard down. The person that hears you, when you lose it, will be a person probably you'll never be able to witness to after that, because they don't have any confidence in what you say. A tree is known by its fruit, and a person is known by what he says and what he does. Now, I don't know to what extent you agree with that, but I'm saying this. It's said by Jesus, it's coming right out of the courts of heaven, and it's true, it's a fact, because Jesus says it is. And if we're going to play this game, we're going to have to play by those rules. And what seems to us to be fair or not fair is not the issue. What God says is fair is the issue. The way it's seen by God. A word out of our mouth creates an impression that is laid upon somebody who hears it or somebody who sees what we do. They assume that we are like we are because of what we say and do. Takes a lot of time to spend with somebody to wipe that off too. Now in my Bible, that the 12th chapter of Matthew in the Scofield Bible has a heading there. It says that destiny in words. Our words create a future for us. If it's nothing more than a future of people's impression on who we are, that means something as far as God is concerned. You've got to keep people thinking you're a righteous person, you're a good person, you follow Jesus and you're obedient simply because they may need somebody from Jesus to tell them what's right and what's wrong. You've got to remain that person. For that particular moment you spoke, your words and your action tell people who you are. You can't play Christianity. Sooner or later, the heart's going to show itself. You can fool some of the people some of the time, Barnum said, but you can't fool Jesus anytime. He knows exactly where you are. Now, God's idea is what you say can be a curse. We're not talking about cursing. We're not talking about cussing. We're talking about a curse. You need to know the difference. Turn to James chapter 3. Right over in the back. Right behind Hebrews. James chapter 3. James was brother of Jesus, you know. And when he finally was converted, he had a lot of good stuff to say. James chapter 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. He's explaining to us from heaven what our tongue is like. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith, or with our tongue, cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God, after the likeness of God. We lay curses on each other, whether we mean to or not sometimes. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now there's the difference right there. There is what Latino people know that so many of us don't. That a blessing and a cursing can come out of the same mouth. My brethren, these things ought not to be, James says. They ought not to come out of the same mouth. Turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 26. Back to the left just a little bit. I've got mine marked so it won't take me as long. This situation right here, I'm going to bring up just two little verses, but it's out of a situation that you're familiar with. You remember Jesus told Peter that before the cock crows, before the rooster crows, and by the way, I don't believe that a rooster actually crowed there that morning, and I'll tell you why. There was a time one of the watches was called, from 3 to 6, was called the cock crow. That's when all the rooster did the crowing between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. And I believe it was that was what he was talking about rather than actually a rooster crowed. Why? Because they have found that there was a civil law in Jerusalem that chickens could not be kept between the walls of the city. So that settled that for me. I don't believe a rooster actually crowed. I think he was talking about cock crow. A time. A watch time. Between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And so Peter has just denied Christ for the third time. Now look at what it says in verse 73. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. He's talking about Jesus' bunch. For thy speech betrayeth thee. You got an accent from Galilee just like all of them had. People didn't travel as much as they do now. They would tell where people were come just because of their accent. And they were accusing Peter of being in Jesus' bunch because he had the same accent that all the other disciples had. Verse 74. Look what he says. Then began Peter, he, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Peter got mad. He was caught. He's in a crowd. All of them his enemies. They've just accused him and he's been caught. And he's swearing. And he's cursing. Because of the reaction of getting caught. Our Bible defines the difference. When you look it up in the Greek, those two words, to curse means to imprecate or to invoke evil on somebody. That's what Peter was doing. It means to doom somebody. The definition of to swear is to use profanity. There's the two different things. Now let me say this. This book is full of things about cursing, about putting curses on people and things and dooming people. It does not say one single word about using profanity. I mean, there's preachers that make their living off of talking about cussing. But this Bible doesn't say anything about cursing, about cussing. Doesn't say anything about using profanity. It talks about cursing. When you put something real and permanent on another person by what you've just said, it can bring about things that will happen to that other person. In South America, Central America, and Mexico, the Mexicans that I have witnessed to that are born again, some of them are in this community, have explained to me that the witch doctors in a small village in Mexico are the only ones that drive big fancy cars because they're the only ones that got any money. And you know where they get it? From selling blessings and selling cursings. Those people down there understand all that. They save up their money and pay a witch doctor to put a curse on somebody they don't like. And it's done so much that witch doctors in every village are the rich people. And I've heard 100 stories about things that actually happened because somebody paid a witch doctor to put a curse on somebody. Well, that's kind of hard to believe. Well, it's not if you go talking to them. But let's give it some background. In the 8th chapter of Acts, if you remember, Simon was watching Philip, and Philip was laying hands on people and giving them the Holy Spirit, and with that they had power. That's a blessing. And he was taking demons out of people. That's removing a curse. And Simon came to Philip and offered Philip money to give him that power. In other words, he wanted to be a rich witch doctor like those Mexicans and Central Americans wanted. He wanted to drive a big car. He wanted to be an important person with all that power. And Philip refused to do it. So you see, it's biblical. Everything I'm saying is strictly biblical. But before we had people come from other countries who were covered with this culture of evil, we didn't know about it around here. But I want you to know about it. And I'll tell you why. There was a lady I talked with lately who went to high school with me, raised in church. Her father was a Sunday school teacher. Nice girl, but all I knew. She went to college up here at the University of Montevallo. Now, some of you need to know that the University of Alabama and Montevallo University are the two schools east of the Mississippi where the witches up north send all their daughters to go to school because the administrations of the school won't bother them. Montevallo University is full of young witches. When I had a class at another church, I had 65 college kids in it. In the early 80s, that's all they talked about, was all the witches up there at the university. People ran into them all the time. This young lady thought it was cool. Got around some of those witches. Got to messing with tarot cards and Ouija boards. Started telling fortunes. It wasn't long till she realized that what she was telling people in fortune was coming true. It began to get her scared until she got to the point This is out of her mouth. She got to hear demons speaking. It took her several years to get out of that. Several years. And she won't hardly talk about it now. She said, I'll tell you enough so you can understand what happened. I had a piano player at another church when I was music director. I hired her from Chilton County. She was going to school with a music degree at the University of Montevallo. Raised in church. Good piano player too. She came one morning and said, I'm going to have to resign my position as pianist and accompanist for the church. I said, why is that? She said, because when I got the job, I told you that I was going to school to get a music degree up here at Montevallo. I said, yeah. She said, well, I'm going to have to quit school. I said, why are you going to have to quit that? She said, at break every morning, I've been meeting with five ladies up there in the break room. And I mentioned the other day that I was having trouble. People who take musical instruments have to do recitals, and they have to do some recitals by memory, without music. And she said I was having trouble remembering the exact music. And they looked at one another and smiled and said, if I take my wedding ring off, put it in a glass of water on the mantle, and say this over it, that I'd remember every single thing I needed to remember. And she said, I laughed, and I said, that sounds like witchcraft. And they smiled and said, it is. And she said, I can't deal with this. I'm going to have to get away from there, and I don't want to fool the church into thinking that I'm still a student up there. I said, look, take my advice. Don't get away from your education. Finish your education. You're too close to having a diploma. Just get away from the witches. We've all seen the purple hairs at the clerks and stores in town. A lot of those are witches. And that's not a rumor. That's true. Now, this young lady was raised in church. I knew her all her life. I knew her family. She thought it was just cute to play with it. She wasn't intending on getting involved in demonology and the demon world. And she got caught and took her years to get out of it. Don't get caught. What did Jesus say? Watch out. Watch out for what? Watch out for people. That's who gets you caught, because that's who Satan uses to catch you. So Christian believers, don't take things for granted. Watch out. Beware. Avoid certain things that Jesus has warned you about. There is such a thing as a curse, and you can do it. Simply by telling somebody to go to hell. Do you know that? Simply by getting mad and telling somebody where to go, you can put a curse on them. We all know the Ten Commandments. So many of us believe today, I've lived in a world where all of you, just like everybody else has, they think that putting a curse word onto God's name is a way to use God's name in vain. But it's not, people. When you go to the Greek of the Ten Commandments and look at it and see what it says, don't ever use God's name frivolously. If you use God's name without it seeming important, you're using his name in vain. So don't get so mad at somebody you know that cusses. Because if you have said something as frivolous as, oh my God, by something done, that's part of it too. Turn to Matthew 16, just a few pages back. Matthew 16 and verse 19. Now, this is a fact that Jesus is teaching us that is coming out of the courts of heaven. It's another one of the parts of this thing called Christianity. And we need to understand it. 16th chapter of Matthew, verse 19. Jesus says, "And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." You know what the kingdom of heaven is. It's when you're born again and you're attempting to live under the rulership of Jesus Christ. That is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about dying and going to heaven. That's not it. It's heaven down here. "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." What we say down here, people, God backs up in heaven. "And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I don't try to convince people of anything. I've said a lot of stuff this morning some of you have never heard before, I'm quite sure. I've had to deal with it just because of where I've been and who I've dealt with. But it's real. And it's for us. And Jesus is saying, watch out. Don't get involved with that. Don't get involved with that person. Don't get involved with that place. Because those persons might be there. Protect what Jesus has died to give each one of us. The gospel of Jesus Christ that saved us. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. That's God's word for us. That's because we're not like anybody else. Please don't feel uncomfortable if you get treated that way. Because the people of the world know we're not. Maybe some of you turned the news on this morning. I turned on to see how cold it's going to be. Found out that in Australia last night, at the first night or first day of Hanukkah, the Christmas season for the Jews, there was hundreds of them on the biggest beach in Australia celebrating the first day of Jewish Christmas holiday. Two people came in, killed 12 of them, and wounded 29 just because they were Jews. Just because God said, if you're going to be my chosen people, you got to be different. Well, folks, we're God's chosen people now, today. And God made us different. We see things different. And this is part of the difference that we have to live. We can't live a common life. The difference sometimes referred in the Bible is not sinful or good. It's common and uncommon. We don't want to be a common unclean thing as a Christian. So please understand how special you are, how special Jesus has made you, how special Jesus sees you, what special power you have through the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in you and will be there forever through heaven and everything. Please look at the world and your life through that glass, that you might see that the most important person that ever walked the face of this earth died, separated himself from his Father spiritually, so that you may be who you are today. Take care of that. And don't let it get tainted because you did let your guard down or you said something you had no business saying. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your instruction. Thank you this morning, Lord, for your warnings. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you take into account that our lives change and cultures change and behavior changes. But you're still the same as you were when it all started. And what you said 2,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago is still just as true as it was then. Lord, make us understand that to live for you requires some self-control. Lord, I pray that we might learn those things that we need to know to stay out of trouble. In Jesus Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen.